Welcome to TurfNet's Renovation Report, brought to you by Gall Preservations and Jacobson. Here's your host, John Kiger.
Welcome to today's episode of TurfNet's Renovation Report on TurfNet Radio. The Renovation Report is brought to you by Jacobson and Golf Preservations. Our guest today is Chris Monty with Bobby Weed Golf Design. Welcome, Chris.
Good afternoon, John. Thanks for having me.
Could you take a few minutes to just explain your role and length of service with Bobby Weed Golf Design?
Sure. I'm actually just about to close in on my 20th year with Bobby. I graduated from Cornell in 1996 with a degree in landscape architecture, and was fortunate to spend a year following the footsteps of Gil Hans and Tom Doak looking at golf courses in the British Isles. And when I got back, I knew that that there were just a couple of designers that tended to spend most of their time in the field that I really wanted to work for, and was fortunate, although I didn't know it at the time, that the golf construction industry was on an upswing, and Bobby had taken on some work and was looking for some help. So I journeyed down to North Florida from Connecticut in late 1997, and worked a few days in the office each week and a few days on a nine-hole addition at Amelia Island Plantation. And things just progressed from there, haven't stopped.
Great. Well, today we're discussing a recently completed practice facility renovation at Interlochen Country Club down in Florida. And for those who aren't familiar with the club, can you give us a brief overview of that club?
Sure. It's located in Winter Park, Florida, which is for anybody that's been there, is an incredibly nice, charming village, home to Rollins College. And Interlochen was a private, family-oriented golf club founded in the early 1980s. And it's just now, reaching a point in time where they're upgrading quite a few of their facilities. Recently finished a big clubhouse renovation. A little more than a year ago, we were asked to take a look at the golf course and see what kind of improvements might be made, looking towards the future. And the first step in that process in terms of, actually putting a new product on the ground was a reexamination of their main practice tee and short game facilities.
And did you do a lot of this work with the existing superintendent?
Yes. Stuart Leventhal is the superintendent, and interestingly, he has been there since day one, which is unusual in this day and age. So he's seen Interlochen from absolutely the ground floor up and knows every corner of the property pretty intimately. And it's not the easiest of sites. Certainly, construction originally could not have been very easy because it is really a peat bog, a lot of muck on the site. The course was built in a floodplain, really was not suitable for residential development. So the only thing it really could have been was a golf course. Building in muck brings its own set of difficulties, particularly in Florida, where everyone is largely accustomed to building golf courses in sand.
Well, Stuart is no stranger to TurfNet. He actually won our TurfNet Superintendent of the Year award back in 2004. So we're familiar with his work back then, and it's nice to know that he's still there helping with this particular project.
Yeah, he has probably one of the most pleasant personalities, and is one of the most patient people that I've come across in this industry, and I think that may have been forged back in the early construction of the golf course, because I know that working on that site, patience was a must. I mean, I've heard stories of drag lines getting stuck and dozers sinking up to their cab, really must have been quite a difficult construction project, certainly somebody with his level of patience is about the only kind of personality that could survive to this day. So they found the right guy and knew it.
Can you briefly describe the existing practice area before the renovation? In other words, what did you see when you guys first started looking at the property?
I think what we saw was an area of ground that maybe wasn't being utilized to the fullest extent, or at least to the level that we thought we could bring it to. You know, and I think that a lot of that is simply what's occurred over time in the game. You know, practice is more important today than ever before. People enjoy practicing aspects of their game, specific aspects of their game. I think, you know, at the highest levels of the game, practice and play and competition has become more data-driven, and that translates down into how you practice and what you practice. And practice is really what a lot of people might only have time for today. You know, if you've got just 90 minutes, you know, that's a time slot that fits well at, you know, stopping off at the club in the late afternoon and getting some work in on your game. And so I think having a wide suite of practice activities at your club and amenities at your club that allow for you to work on every aspect of your game in a precise way is a real attractant to somebody that's looking to join a private club.
So those were the primary goals in renovating the practice facilities, was to emphasize the evolution of practice becoming more important and having up-to-date and plentiful facilities to take care of that.
That's exactly right, and I can tell a tale, a short tale of, you know, how the lens through which Bobby and I view practice facilities. So a couple of years ago, we were fortunate to be involved in the renovation of Medalist Golf Club in Hobesound, Florida, and the Jupiter Hobesound area is home to a number of PGA Tour professionals, and quite a few of them are members at Medalist. And we renovated the back end of their practice range with a new short game facility, and you know, had a chance to kind of interact with some of those pros and with the club president, who knew what it was that those guys were looking for. And the existing facility at that time had a lot of humps and bumps and hollows, and really kind of rolled and moved around. Particularly in and around the chipping green. And what we noticed was all the divots were down in the low spots, in the flat spots, and in the level spots. And what we sensed was that in some ways, you know, good practice facilities are relatively moderate in terms of their movement, in terms of their pitch, roll, that people really want to practice on a level lie. They want to calibrate their game. They want to work on, you know, repeating their swing or their stroke, and aren't necessarily looking to, you know, practice all those crazy stances and lies that, while they are, you know, part of the game, that's not really the experience that people are looking for when they're practicing. So, you know, we're trying to build facilities, and what we did both at Medalist and at Interlochen is really try to tone down everything that we're building, keep the greens and the surrounds lower profile, give people a lot of space and a lot of room, you know, to drop, you know, half a dozen balls and practice off a level lie, see how the ball bounces out and rolls out onto a green that, you know, doesn't have a lot of elephants buried in it or tiers or dips. You know, make sure that we have a place on the putting green that has, you know, known slopes, 1%, 2%, 3%, the kind of slopes where you're going to have a cup or a pin and you can really work on your stroke and your game. So that's the mentality that we brought to Interlochen, and just keep everything low profile, tone down. The bunkers don't have to be so deep, because people are trying to work on their games.
You're listening to the Renovation Report on TurfNet Radio. We're visiting with Chris Monty from Bobby Weed Golf Design. We'll be back after this message from our sponsors.
From greens drainage to sod work, Golf Preservations can handle your project with ease and give you the peace of mind to know the professionals are caring for your valuable golf course assets. Visit golfpreservations.com or call 606-499-2732 to talk to us directly about your next project. Turf Nets Renovation Report is brought to you by Jacobson, makers of the all-new Truckster XD, a true heavy-duty utility vehicle with the largest standard payload capacity in its class. The all-new Jacobson Truckster XD is designed to make your next renovation, or whatever your next big project is, easier.
And we're back. You're listening to the Renovation Report on TurfNet Radio. Our guest today is Chris Monti of Bobby Weed Golf Design, and we're talking about the renovation of the practice facilities at Interlochen Country Club in Florida. Now, how long was the process from planning to the finished construction?
I would say it's been about a little over a year. We were engaged by the club in the early part of last year to really look at the whole golf course, and not just the practice facilities. And towards the end of that process, we started to dial in on the practice facilities in order to try to bring a project out of the ground that could introduce the membership to some of the improvements we might be looking to make out on the course as a whole.
Did the finished project use more space, or was it on the existing footprint of the old practice facilities?
It was on the existing footprint, but I think we've been far more efficient with the space that we had. Shifting around some of the existing cart path staging allowed us to expand the main practice tee by about 35 to 40%, lowering the elevation of the existing chipping, bunker, and putting greens allowed us to, make a better utilization of the space that we had. The closer you get greens down onto the ground, the more usable the surrounds are that encompass them.
Did you do anything specific to the design so it felt integrated with the rest of the course or the adjacent facilities such as the clubhouse?
The opposite. We were trying to introduce to the membership a little bit of the flavor of what we might bring out to the golf course if and when we're fortunate enough to be able to sink our teeth into the main 18. Specifically, a lot of the greens on the golf course are elevated. The bunkers are very deep. You kind of have to walk down into them. And on the short game area, we wanted to introduce the membership to a subtler, more low-profile style of green and surrounds, where the greens sit more at grade instead of being popped up into the air. We wanted to introduce a bunkering style where you can walk in and walk out from three sides easily enough. And, the only part of the bunker that has a face is the part that is, between you and the golf hole. So we really wanted to do things kind of in a 180 to what they experience on the main 18 so that they could see, what it is that we might do when we're able to proceed with that project.
Now, here's a question for Stuart and the rest of our listeners here. Did you take any specific steps to make the practice area easier to maintain?
Yeah, I can think of one big one in particular, and we're pretty excited about it. So the existing bunkers at Interlochen on the main golf course have fairly steep grass faces that require a considerable amount of man hours to line trim or fly mow. In fact, I think Stuart would tell you that he probably spends more man hours maintaining his bunkers than he does maintaining his greens. So we really wanted to focus on making that aspect of his maintenance program more efficient. So the bunker style that we've introduced at the short game facility in Interlochen involves the use of artificial turf sod wall edges. And this is a new product that we used down at Medalist to construct sod wall bunkers that mimics quite precisely and dramatically the look and feel of a natural revetted sod wall bunker, but does not require you to replace it every 5 or 6 years the way the use of a natural sod might. And instead of building the wall all the way down the face of the bunker, instead we built eyebrows, so to speak. And what those eyebrows will allow Stuart to do is take a mechanized mower and mow right up to the edge of the bunker. So we've taken all those man hours that he previously would use to line trim and fly mow the grass face of the bunker, and now all he's doing is taking a triplex or a trim unit and running right up and around the top edge of the bunker, and none of his laborers have to, or operators have to, get off the seat of the mower in order to maintain the circumference of the bunker.
Those sound like some great suggestions to cut down on the maintenance of that practice area.
Well, you know, and if and when we're able to scale it up, I think it opens up a world of possibilities in terms of what Stuart might be able to do in refocusing and rededicating those resources. And that's ultimately, you know, how design integrates with maintenance and maintenance integrates with design, because, you know, it is about efficiency. You know, member expectations don't seem to ever get lower. Budgets might get cut, but expectations never drop. So the more we can maximize the efficiency of any maintenance program and take dollars, man hours, resources out of one area in order to be able to place them into another, then I think we're helping the superintendent do his job. So, I don't know that those man hours that Stuart was expending on those grass faces are going to go away, but I think what will happen is now he might have the ability to top dress his surrounds a little bit more, be able to think about grooming the golf course and the in-play areas to a higher level than, you know, what his member, what he's able to achieve today.
The information we received mentioned new updated turf grass varieties, a new bunker aesthetic, and more shortcut surrounds. Can you explain these aspects in a little bit more detail?
Absolutely. Well, the bunker aesthetic involved the use of that artificial turf material that I was describing previously. Presently, the golf course, the main golf course, utilizes 419 and a relatively older strain of Bermuda grass. So the short game area now involves Celebration, Step Cut, and Roughs, and Tiff Grand close cut surrounds. And those are turf grass varieties that we'd also like to scale up and bring out to the main golf course. Having close cut surrounds is really an essential part of Bobby's design philosophy. And, you know, Tiff Grand allows us to maintain the surrounds at a slightly lower height of cut than is possible with a lot of other varieties. And to us, close cut surrounds really enhance the strategy and the playability of a golf course. I think anytime you're playing a course where you just blindly reach for your sandwich and once you get up close to the green, really isn't giving you the full spectrum of what the game's interest could be. And close cut surrounds, you know, may make you make a decision between, do I bump it, do I pitch it, do I flip it, do I putt it? And having that sort of extra layer of interest and intrigue in and around the surrounds can be a real equalizer between, you know, somebody that hits the ball a long way and somebody that maybe has more modest length. So, anytime you can inject a little bit more thinking, a little bit more of the mental side of the game, I think you're getting down to what golf's interest and appeal really is and the essence of the game. And having close cut surrounds really allows us to make the most of that. And some of these new turf grass varieties like Tiff Grand really allow us to make the most of it.
Now that it's complete, is there anything you wish you had done slightly differently as part of the renovation?
That'll come. I mean, I think, you know, anytime you're in a creative process, you're always looking at what you've done, thinking about how you might do it differently the next time. We just finished grassing literally today, so I haven't really had a chance to digest it. But there's no question that, once I have a chance to really look at what we've done, see how people experience it, get a little feedback, I'm certain there'll be some some aspects when we move out onto the main golf course that we'll tweak.
So just review again some of the goals of that additional renovation. You know, obviously you look at showcasing the practice facilities as the potential for what the rest of the course could look like, but expand upon that a little bit more for us.
You know, I think the main goal was to increase the utilization of the space. The greens that were there were well elevated. The surrounds of the greens had a lot of movement and contour that made for some pretty uneven lies. Just taking a look at how the members were using the facility and the space that they had, it seemed like if we could just lower everything down back closer to grade, have much more low-profile surrounds that allowed for some more level stances, we'd be able to get a lot more folks out practicing simultaneously. And so within the existing footprint, you know, we were able to build a 10,000-square-foot putting green, a bunker green, and a chipping green, both of about 4,000 or 5,000 square feet, and expand the main tee by about 30-35%. And the style of what we've built, both in terms of the bunkering, the contouring, the turf grasses, all represent attributes of our design philosophy that we'd like to bring out onto the main course for a bigger project.
The challenges in terms of growing the game and retaining members are well known within the golf industry. Do you see addressing practice areas as one way that existing courses can attract new players or retain existing players and members?
I think absolutely. Again, that's, you know, that's something that a lot of people have time for, particularly when you're talking about a family-oriented private club where, you know, there might be an hour and a half where the kids could go do something and mom or dad might be able to squeeze in a little practice time on their game. And so anytime you are able to have a facility that involves more than just beating balls, but allows you to precisely practice and calibrate your game, I think that's what people are looking for. And they're seeing what some of these pros are doing with the TrackMan technology and the data that they're using to analyze their game, how they perform and what they need to work on. And, you know, being able to have some flavor of that by, you know, having a practice facility that allows you to work on all aspects of your game, but in a way that, you know, lets you repeat your stroke and think about what it is that you're doing, I think that's a real attractant to getting folks to play more golf.
Well, and it also represents an opportunity for the superintendent staff to interact with the pro shop, because obviously the golf pro will have some specific input as to what is important in enhancing a practice facility.
No question, because, you know, a lot of what I just spoke about with what the PGA Tour pros are doing, you know, that gets passed down to the club level through the pro shop staff. You know, they're understanding, hey, people want to know, you know, where does my backswing get to for a 30-yard pitch shot, a 40-yard pitch shot, a 60-yard pitch shot? And you know, a good practice facility is set up to allow members to work on exactly those shots at exactly those distances, and let them see, you know, how does the ball bounce and run out after it hits. Those are all things that, you know, pros are looking at, and I think club members now are looking at. You know, what is the percent slope on this green? Is it 2%? Is it 3%? And, you know, how much does that putt break when I'm 6 feet away, 8 feet away? All of that precision is at the highest levels of the game, and those are known data points that PGA Tour pros are working with, and some of that is trickling down now to the club level player, and practice facilities ought to reflect that if we want to be, you know, presenting facilities that are as progressive as possible.
based on this project, any additional advice you would give other courses who may be considering a practice facility renovation, or any final thoughts before we leave?
I think to beat the same drum, you know, think about utility and functionality above all else. I feel like I've seen quite a few practice facilities where, because it wasn't on the main golf course, maybe there was a sense that there was a little bit more license, and freedom to have a little bit more contour, have a little bit more movement. And I think that philosophy is contrary to where the best practice facilities are going today. I think the best practice facilities, you know, allow you to practice from a relatively level lie, allow you to see the ball hit the green, whether it's from the surrounds, whether it's from a bunker, and see what it's doing after it lands. Has some way for you to gauge the distance that you're hitting, even if it's a shot of 50 yards or less. Also, you know where you are, where you're hitting to, and what it is that you're trying to work on. And that level of functionality and utility is, I think, where people want to be today and how they want to practice.
Well, and I think one of the things that a practice facility says is, to borrow a real estate term, it gives good curb appeal to the course. When a potential new member is coming, maybe as a guest of a member, if somebody is arriving at a course as a potential outing sponsor, or even just in the daily fee end of things, when people drive up to a new course for the first time, seeing an up-to-date practice facility, seeing a practice facility that has a lot of options, that has a lot of activity, I think that's a very good sign as somebody steps onto that golf facility for the first time.
I couldn't have said it any better myself. And I think part of why that is the case is because most golfers today know that they're going to be spending more time practicing. So they're interested in the facilities. I think it just gets back to the lesser level of disposable time that we all have. So when you're joining a club, yeah, you want the golf course to be good and interesting, but you're looking closely at the practice facilities because you may spend just as much, if not more, time there than on the course.
Well, Chris, thanks so much for visiting with us today about the project at Interlochen Country Club in Florida and their practice facility down there. As a reminder, Chris is at Bobby Weed Golf Design, and we'll have a link to the Bobby Weed Golf Design website on TurfNet if you'd like more information or to contact them directly. As I said earlier, the TurfNet Renovation Report is brought to you by Golf Preservations and Jacobson, and we appreciate their sponsorship of this programming. Chris, thanks again for being our guest today, and maybe we'll catch up with you in another 4 to 6 months and see what other projects you guys are working on.
I really hope so, John. Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.